Good to be here this morning and to be with you, and certainly thankful for this opportunity, the opportunity to fill in for Neil in his absence. And hopefully we can have a good study this morning, and we have had our minds focused right as we have been led in prayer, and we have remembered our Lord's death, and we have sung those wonderful songs that uplift us and encourage us, and hopefully that has been the case this morning, and hopefully we will find some benefit in the topic that has been chosen to discuss or to lead your minds in this morning. What to do when you are feeling discouraged. When we think about being a Christian, you know, there are many wonderful blessings. There are many wonderful things about being a child of God. And the list is too long for us to go and to list all of them out. And so we mention a few, like the blessing of being a Christian and the freedom that we have from sin, being forgiven of our sins and having that available to us, the forgiveness that comes through the shedding of the blood of Christ and the guilt that goes with that, and the spiritual blessings that are available to us as Christians, those who are in Christ. All spiritual blessings are found in Him, Ephesians 1 and verse 3, and the many and wonderful, great and precious promises that we have through God's Word that God gives us, that the promises that are meant to motivate us and to encourage us in our life when we are dealing with difficult things that sometimes come into our life, we can focus on those promises that God has made us to be a guide and to be a motivation, to see us through the difficult times and to experience those wonderful things as being a Christian, the fellowship that we have with each other, the fellowship that we're able to have with God and being one of His children, and the privilege of prayer. And, you know, there are so many reasons for us as Christians to be thankful. We see 1,000 reasons why, as Christians, we should be joyful. We should be happy. There are countless reasons why we as Christians, we should be full of zeal. Well, we should be among the most enthusiastic people in the world with upbeat attitudes all of the time. But you know, the best of people will become discouraged and frustrated in life. I mean, we call it, we label it different things. You know, we call it by different names. We might call it, you know, having the blues or having the blahs or being down in the dumps. Well, some of the very finest people that we read about in Scripture, you know, they were victims of discouragement. Elders and preachers and members and teachers and parents will all at one time or another, for whatever reason, the various circumstances of life, will battle with becoming discouraged. Life, the simple truth of the matter is, life cannot be lived exclusively on an incline. It's going to have its valleys. It's going to have its peaks. It's going to have its downs and its ups, its highs and its lows. But the problem with it is, the problem is getting down, getting low, and getting into this valley and then never getting out, always being in this rut. Discouragement, you know, it might be tough to handle at times, but you know something, it's not impossible to overcome. It's not impossible to handle. Because our greatest story is not in never falling, but in rising each time that we fall. You know, there's a saying that I keep in the back of my mind. You fall 7 times, you get up 8. And the Lord doesn't want us to be discouraged. The Lord doesn't want us to be despondent. His message to us, John chapter 16 and verse 33, His message to us is, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation." But notice what He said. He said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That's the message of Jesus to His disciples. In the world you're going to have trouble. In the world you're going to find discouragement. You're going to find hard times. But be of good cheer. That's the Lord's message to us. Matthew 9 and verse 22, Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. You know, discouragement, that's as old as man. It is an enemy of God. It is an enemy of the soul of man. And it is an effective tool in the hands of Satan. You know, we read of biblical characters or biblical people that became discouraged. We read of Elijah in 1 Kings 19 and verse 4. And it says there that he went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It's enough, Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." You know, Elijah had just come away from perhaps the greatest demonstration of God's power in consuming the sacrifice, his sacrifice that had been soaked in water. The Lord showed his power and consumed even the water that had been placed in the trench around the altar. But physical exhaustion, the loss of faith in others, you know, that accompanied and contributed to his discouragement. In his mind, he was the only servant of God that was left. And God told him that there were 7,000 in Israel that hadn't forsaken him and that hadn't bowed down to idol worship and to Baal. But his request, despite what the Lord, his request is, "Lord, it's enough. Take my life. I've had enough." But the Lord says, "You've got to get up and go. You've got to get up and go. You've got to keep moving. You've got to go on. You've got to get up. You can't stay in this state, this frame of mind. You can't stay in this rut. Strap up your sandals and go." You know, the psalmist in the 42nd Psalm and the 43rd Psalm was discouraged. And he talks about the discouragement that he had. And he also mentions there and says how he was able to overcome the discouragement that he had in those Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. He talks about how in battling and dealing his discouragement, that he put his hope and he put his trust in God. He counted the many blessings that he had as a child of God, and he prayed to God. He wanted and had a desire to go to the house of God. He was in the dumps, but he was able to pull himself out. And if we but practice those things, we can remedy the discouragement that we have just like he did. You know, John chapter 7, you may have never thought of John the Baptist when it comes to someone being discouraged, but when you read what is written there in John chapter 7, beginning in verse 19, and John called two of his disciples, and he sent them to Jesus to say, "Well, are you the one that should come, or should we look for another?" When the men were coming to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the one that should come, or should we look for another?" And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits. And unto many they were blind. He gave sight. And Jesus answered and said, "Go your way. and tell John the things that you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whoever shall not be offended in me. Now, you know, commentators, they've been baffled by these verses. But it seems the plain, unmistakable inference of the text is that John's faith wavered. He knew who Jesus was. But yet he sends these two disciples to him to say, are you him or not? What are you? Are you the one? Or do we need to be looking for somebody else? John knew who Jesus was. The Bible never presents the saints as free from imperfection. Inspiration is not all-knowing, and visions and miracles, that did not remove the fear and the doubt that John had. And you know, our list could go on of biblical people that we'll read about in Scripture that dealt with that faith, that faced discouragement. And their reasons for the discouragement that they had, their reasons varied, just like our reasons vary today. You know, there are some reasons why that today you and I might face various bouts of discouragement. And again, the idea, it's going to happen, we're going to be discouraged, we're going to face trials and tribulation, there may be times that our faith, it will waver. We're going to face tribulation. But be of good cheer. You know, there are ways in which we can overcome it. There are ways in which we can pull up our bootstraps and we can move on. We can dig ourselves out of a rut. But you know, some people get discouraged whenever illness or handicap might strike them. You know, all of a sudden, not being able to do the things that you're once able to do, and for whatever reason and for various circumstances, our health begins to decline. That can draw one into a deep well of discouragement. You know, the best of God's people have suffered the loss of health, or they've had handicaps that they've had to live with and deal with throughout their life. You know, Paul, we mentioned Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7 and the thorn in the flesh and how he prayed that be removed. Very zealous, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He wasn't free from imperfection. He had a thorn in the flesh. Zacchaeus was, you know, little in stature. Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 25 to verse 30. We read there how he was sick unto death, but God had mercy on him. And Timothy, we read in 1 Timothy 5, had problems with his stomach. And Trophimus, he had to be left behind on Paul's second journey. And of course, we're all familiar and we know the trials and the things that Job faced in his life, the infirmities that he had, and being struck with leprosy. Yeah, even those that we read about in Scripture, they dealt with physical ailments. They dealt with physical infirmities. And if we live long enough on this earth, we will experience a decline in health. We'll not always be able to do the things that we are able to do, maybe currently. Things change in our life. There are things that we can do whenever that occasion does arise, or maybe something that I am struggling with at the moment. the loss of health, having a handicap, something that debilitates me that I have to deal with each day that maybe makes life just a little bit more difficult than otherwise it has been previously in my life. And of course, we look to those individuals that we read about in Scripture that had those things, that those different trials and things that discouraged those ailments of health that they had that may have been a discouragement to them. And we see what Paul did in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 8. And it says that he besought the Lord three times that it might be removed, that it might depart from him. He prayed to God that this thorn in the flesh might be removed. And of course we know how the Lord answered Paul in that regard and his request to have it removed. My grace is sufficient for you. And in that case, we have to resolve. We have to be resolved that we're not going to become bitter over the fact that this illness or this something has, my health has declined to the point that I can no longer do the things that I used to be able to do. Can't function in the same way that normally or that I was used to being able to function. We can't become bitter over that. Because bitterness will destroy us. Bitterness will keep us and make us and allow us and hold us in remaining discouraged in that rut to eventually eat away at our faith. Verse 9, he said, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It may be that, illness or handicap, that's a reason for my discouragement. Death can bring a great deal of discouragement. You think about losing a loved one. That communication that you once had, that communication is gone. That special someone that you looked to, that you confided in, that you trusted, that you your helpmeet, those who you look to for help and for guidance in dealing with the various issues and aspects of life and being a parent or the various other avenues of life. That communication that you had, that support, that help, all of a sudden it is gone. And that part of your life is very empty. That helper, that friend, this huge hole has been created. All of the emotions that you experience, those, they're overwhelming at times. But we have examples of people that we read about in Scripture that lost loved ones. The Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 20, she lost her son. She lost her son and we read about her discouragement, and maybe even some of you can relate to her. And know the emotion. And know the difficulty and the discouragement and the hurt that is brought into someone's life. And there are times that you just say, Lord, that's enough. Just take my life. You can relate to Elijah. But then I think I have two good reasons why that can't happen. Two good reasons to put on my shoes and to continue on. David lost a child. Mary and Martha lost their brother. Jesus had compassion, concern, and even wept for their sorrow. But there are things that we can do. There are things that we can do to overcome when we've lost someone near and dear to us. We can remember and know that God is a God of comfort, 2 Corinthians 1 and verses 3 to verse 5. That He is a God of comfort, and that is one of the many blessings that we have in being a Christian, being a child of God. For times like this, God is with us. God will comfort us, whether it be through His Word, whether it be through our brethren. God will comfort us. Psalms 147 and in verse 3, He heals the broken heart and He binds up their wounds. Those are among the promises we have as children of God. As Christians, we have to remember that this God, our God, the God that we serve, the God that we pledge our love and our loyalty to, the God who has made us all of those wonderful promises, that has given us each other, that God, He'll care for us. You know, I know you're familiar with the 23rd Psalm. When we read the Psalms, we look at the Psalms, they inspire us, they comfort us, they encourage us whenever we need a word from the Lord. And we find in the 23rd Psalm that the consolations of the Lord are still waters by which His children are led. They are the streams that flow from the fountain of the living waters. The valley of the shadow of death. The most severe and terrible affliction that an individual can undergo. Yet, I'll fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You know, we might be discouraged because of death, but it doesn't have to defeat us. It doesn't mean we stop living. It doesn't mean we quit and we give up. It means that we work harder at being who God wants us to be in order to overcome, that we can be an encouragement and a benefit to others who may find themselves in a similar situation. You know, the Bible never presents the saint as free from imperfection. You know, material loss may be a reason for discouragement. And we read how Job lost all of his worldly possessions. He lost his children. Job 1 and verse 21. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The loss of prosperity, you know, that's either going to make one better or it's going to make one bitter. We must remember that none of our prosperity, None of it was ours in the first place. Everything belongs to God. And He allows us usage for joy and fulfillment in life. And you know, one day we'll just leave it all behind. Brought nothing into the world. Paul tells Timothy, and it's certain that we're not going to carry anything out. You know, insecurity might be a reason for someone's discouragement. God has promised to provide for our every need. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with the things that you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." In Matthew 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know that God has shown that He will do this. God has shown that He will do it, and we should not fear. Elijah in 1 Kings 17, you know, the ravens brought him food in the morning and the evening. He drank from the brook while there was a famine. God provided for him. The widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17 as well. Israel in the wilderness, God took care of them. The multitude with five loaves and two fishes. The 12 in Matthew 10 and verses 9 and verse 10. Jesus, when He entered into temptation in Matthew chapter 4, tells us that the angels came and ministered unto Him. Do you know that our security rests in a God that will provide? We can overcome this discouragement. You know, fickle friends might bring some discouragement. You know, Christ's own familiar friend lifted his hand against him and betrayed him. Demas, we read in Paul's writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, Demas forsook Paul. But when we look at what Jesus did, we look at what Paul did in those situations and in those circumstances, they didn't lose hope. They didn't give up in despair. But you know, the Bible tells us that if there's difficulty between us and another, that we should fix it if we can. We should fix it. Romans 12 and in verse 18, as much as it depends upon you, you live peaceable with all men. And so he says, if there's a problem between you and someone else, make sure it's not your fault. Don't let it be your fault. Fix it if you can. But if you can't, you count the many friends that you have that are loyal and those that are helpful. Discouragement is an effective tool of Satan. But Satan can be defeated. He can be defeated. We can overcome discouragement. We don't have to allow it, whether, you know, regardless of what it is, regardless of whether it's illness or something that debilitates us, or it's the loss of a loved one, or material loss, or insecurity, or fickle friends. Those things don't have to defeat us and rob us of the joy and the satisfaction of being a Christian. We can overcome by remembering God's promises. We mentioned those as being a reason that our attitude should be joyful and happy all of the time. And there's reasons why we should be among the most zealous people in the world. We can never stop trusting God. We can never stop trusting in the promises that He has made. All human beings, they have their weaknesses. But God's power, God's strength, Isaiah 40, verses 28 to verse, that never diminishes. He's never too tired. He's never too busy to listen. Never too tired. Never too busy to help. He's the source of our strength. And when you feel like all of life is crushing you and you just simply cannot take another step, now remember that you can call upon the Lord. You can call upon the Lord. You can call upon God and He'll renew your strength. Verse 31 of Isaiah 40. That waiting on the Lord. That's patiently relying on Him to give us our strength. And as it's stated in Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 20 and verse 21, He is able. Our God is able to do that, to do abundantly above what we are able to even think or fathom or comprehend. He has wonderful promises that apply to all who are troubled, to all who find themselves in moments of discouragement, to the parent in Proverbs 22 and in verse 6, you train your child in the way that they shall go, and when they're old, they will not depart. To the teacher in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. To the elder in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, you'll receive a crown of glory that does not fade. To the preacher in Isaiah 55 and verse 11, he says the word will accomplish everything that it is supposed to. Everything that God wishes that it accomplishes or sets it out to accomplish, the Word will accomplish. Preach the Word. To the downtrodden in 1 Peter 5 and in verse 7, he says, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. While discouragement might come, God gives instruction. God provides the strength that will allow us to overcome, regardless of what it is. If I want to overcome my, if I don't want to be stuck in a rut, if I don't want to give up, if I'm not ready to just lay down and give up, and I want to overcome these difficulties that I'm facing, then, you know, do something for someone else. Most discouragements will be found in an overactive mind and an underactive body. The 10 rules of getting rid of the blues are to go out and to do something for someone else, and you repeat it 10 times. You know, the Lord said that we find life by losing it. Losing it in a cause beyond and bigger than ourselves. When you dig someone else out of a hole, when you dig someone else out of their troubles, you know, that'll make a hole for you to bury yours. And we need to remember that we'll not be tempted beyond our ability. You know, God promised this, promises a way of escape, the temptation, that we might be able to bear it. Paul was assured of enough of God's grace to endure his trial. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 and verse 17, he said, for this cause we do not faint, even though our outward man, even though it is perishing, our inward man is being renewed daily. And it's but for a light affliction. This light affliction is but for a moment, and it works in us a far more exceedingly great and eternal weight of glory. We have the ability. We can conquer self-pity. You know, self-pity is born of self-concern and self-esteem. But Jesus said we must crucify ourselves. Jesus said to His disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. General William F. Dean was a prisoner of war in Korea. And when asked how he was able to hold up during his captivity, he said, I never felt sorry for myself. And that's what defeated it. He said, self-pity whips more people than anything else. We need to learn that it's not all about me. We mustn't wallow in the mire of self-pity and wallow in the mire of what's wrong with our life. Focus on our life with God now. And how we can serve Him. When discouraged, remember that you are of essential value and that you are needed by the Lord. And if your thought ever comes to the point that no one cares about you or that you are of no value to anyone else, the Lord's message to you is that He has need of you. And you are of more value than many sparrows. Not understanding that even his one talent was needed in his master's economy. The one talent, man, he took it out and he buried it. You remember what happened to him? Every member in the body of Christ is important, regardless of the infirmities. God's grace is sufficient for you. You can be an example to others in dealing with difficulties in life, rather than becoming bitter and living as a victim. To overcome, we obviously must pray. David encouraged himself in the Lord in 1 Samuel 30 and in verse 6. It tells us there he was greatly distressed. People were speaking about stoning him. Because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And it will greatly help if we take our discouragements to the Lord. Regardless of how strong, we can't bear those things alone. You know, we can't ignore discouragement. We can't just simply ignore discouragement. Ignoring discouragement is like ignoring a flat tire. You know, it doesn't matter how much you pray. It doesn't matter. You can drive all that you want. But you'll never get the air back in the tire. You have to fix it. You have to fix it. You know, there's a poem that I want to end with, and I'm not much into reading poetry, but this is a poem that some of you probably heard. Some of you may even have it framed in your house. This hung on my refrigerator for a long, long time. And it's called In the Valleys I Grow. Sometimes life seems hard to bear, full of sorrow, trouble, and woe. It's then that I have to remember that it's in the valleys I grow. If I always stayed on the mountaintop and never experienced pain, I would never appreciate God's love and would be living in vain. I have so much to learn. My growth is very slow. Sometimes I need the mountaintops, but it's in the valleys I grow. I don't always understand why things happen as they do, but I'm very sure of one thing. My Lord will see me through. My little valleys are nothing. When I picture Christ on the cross, He went through the valley of death. His victory was Satan's loss. Forgive me, Lord, for complaining when I am so very low. Just give me a gentle reminder that it's in the valleys I grow. Continue to strengthen me, Lord, and use my life each day to share Your love with others and help them find the way. Thank You for the valleys, Lord. For this one thing I know, the mountaintops are glorious, but it's in the valleys I grow. Trying times are no time to quit trying. Abraham Lincoln failed in business twice, was defeated in 8 elections before becoming president. Robert E. Perry, after 7 failures and 23 years of fruitless searching, discovered the North Pole. The love of God won't let us down. It won't let us down. It will not let us go. And it will not let us off. And so we lift up the hands that hang down, Hebrews 12 and verse 12, and we take courage. And we put our faith and we put our trust in Him. Do you know the joy of being a Christian? If you don't, then you can. You can become a child of God by doing the very things that God prescribes in His Word. By listening to Him, by heeding His will for yourself in life, you can become a Christian. Know the joy and the privilege of being a child of God. Have the blessing and the privilege of having the God of all comfort be there to support you and to strengthen you in those times of discouragement. Living with the hope of eternal life and the great and precious promises of God that are beyond our ability to be able to comprehend. Why not become a Christian? Why would you not want to become a Christian? Do you believe on the Lord with all of your heart? And if you do, then be willing to turn from your sins. Be willing to confess Him with your mouth. Be willing to be obedient by being buried with Him in that watery grave. Be a loyal, faithful, trustworthy steward and servant of the Most High God, knowing that there are great and precious promises that await you. And that you don't have to deal with the discouragement and the difficulties of life on your own. But the God, the Creator of all the world and the universe, stands ready and willing to help you and to strengthen you if you will but let Him. If you need to respond this morning to the invitation, would you come while we stand and sing the song?